Good morning. Oh, I did get it turned on. Ruth, you said the flight was canceled because there were only five people? Kyle and Connor? Armani, Rebecca, and Pastor Tony? Wow. You know, God knows what he's doing. He really does. Before we got out of here for the end of the first service, we had a car and we had a driver. And they're on their way. Let me try that again. They're on their way. Some of our youth, Kyle and Connor Shelton, Armani Valdez, along with Rebecca Escalera, accompanied by Pastor Tony, are on their way to Costa Rica. Hey, we used to fly to Ethiopia. That's about 12 hours. They'll do fine. There, they'll answer the Lord's call, teaching Vacation Bible School to the Costa Rican children, some of which may never have heard the gospel. These people heard God's call and responded to it. They answered the call, and God provided. He provided the funds for the tickets. He provided passport where we needed one. He's even got it all set up so they make their flights. Isn't he wonderful? This week, as you pray, pray for their safety and for their protection. Pray that God might be working in them and through them for his glory. This is a great opportunity. Father, we thank you for this team that are heading for Costa Rica. We pray that you would watch over them, that you would bless them, you would give them a safe flight down, bring them back safely, watch over them while they're there. And Father, most of all, we pray that you work in their hearts and work through them and their willingness to follow you, to reach out to the children down there and the families. We thank you. And we pray that you would now be with us as we look at your word. Speak your words through my mouth. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Excuse me. I've done the three service thing before, but that was a few years back. Last week, Pastor Tony did a spoiler. You know what a spoiler is? My wife and I sometimes read the same book, and she'll turn to me and she'll say, "Don't you tell me one thing about what you read. You'll ruin it for me." Last week, Pastor Tony told us that Jeremiah was just a young man, maybe 8 years old when he was called by the Lord. I think that's about them. I think he was a little older. I think he was about 15, 17, about the ages of Kyle or Connor. And God called him. Jeremiah, the name means to loosen. Loosen from the womb. To break free from the womb. And to go on God's mission. He was the son of Hilkiah, a priest. And he lived very close to Jerusalem. He didn't follow in his father's footsteps. He became a prophet instead of a priest, because that's what God called him to do. His time of prophecy fits between that of Isaiah and Ezekiel. Now, last 2 weeks, Pastor Tony spoke on Isaiah and he spoke on Ezekiel. And when he asked me to preach, I couldn't help but take the one in the middle. Isaiah prophesied about 100 years before the exile. And I'm getting an echo. Echo. So from 739 to 681 BC, Isaiah prophesied for about 58 years. Ezekiel, we see him on the shore of the river in Babylon. He's one of the early exiles. And he prophesied from about 593 to about 571 BC. Jeremiah, 41 years. If he started out as, say, 15 years old, that would put him at, what, 56 years old when he finished. 627 to 586. 586 is the fall of Jerusalem and the exile of Israel, or exile of Judah into Babylon. It may have gone a little longer than that, because we see Jeremiah going down into Egypt with the rebellious Jewish remnant that was left there. We're going to look at three things today. The first is Jeremiah's call, and then Jeremiah's message to Israel, and then Jeremiah's message to the nations. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and if you want to follow along, the Pew Bible, it's on page 612. But I'm using a different translation, and I'm going to be jumping all over the place. So the scripture will be up here on the screen. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That seems kind of strange. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before he was even formed, before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you aside. and I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah is not the only one to mention that. King David in the Psalms, and Paul in his writings in the New Testament, both say, God knew me from my mother's womb, and he set me apart to be what I am. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles, and God started in my mother's womb to make me, to form me for that. God truly knows us. He prepares us from the womb. He prepares us for his calling, no matter what that calling might be. It might be a painter. It might be a teacher. It might be an engineer. It might be a carpenter, a fireman, or even a pastor. No matter what the calling might be, it might be a fisherman, a tax collector, or a tent maker. A.W. Tozer said, the layman need never think of his humble task as being inferior to that of his minister. Let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the minister. God calls us to his ministry. And no matter what he's called us to, that's just as sacred as anything, because he's called us. In verse 6, we see Jeremiah's objection. Then I said, Oh, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. I don't know how to speak. I'm only an old guy. I can't do that anymore. We all have excuses. We all hear God's calling and block up our ears. Moses. Moses was 80 years old when God met him at the burning bush and said, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to bring Israel out of Egypt. And Moses says, not me, Lord. I can't talk. I stutter. Isaiah, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tony went through chapter 6 of Isaiah. And Isaiah, when he saw God, said, Woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. Gideon. Gideon was down in the wine press, the hole in the ground, threshing out the wheat, so that the enemies wouldn't come and take it away from him. And God called him, and he said, Who me? Who me? I'm the least of my family. And my family is the least of our tribe. And our tribe is the least in Israel. I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Why are you calling me? I'm nobody. a Jonah. Jonah was prejudiced. Jonah didn't want to go to those people. Okay, Lord, I'll go someplace else. But not to Nineveh, not to those people. God opens the door, and often like Gideon, we ask, is this really you, God? Is this really you? If it is, make the fleece wet and the ground dry. No. Make the ground wet and the fleece dry. When my wife and I got ready to go to Africa, I didn't pray, Lord, if it's your will for us to go to Africa. I said, Lord, we're packing our bags. We're getting ready. If you don't want us to go, you better close the door and lock it. I felt a gust of wind grab that door and blow it wide open, and a hand in my back pushing me out the door and saying, you're not moving fast enough. Get going. By the way, when I was 15, I made God a promise. Whatever you ask me to do, if you'll give me the power and the ability, I'll do it. And I've tried to live up to that. God responded to Jeremiah in verses 7 and 8. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. To deliver you, declares the Lord. When God calls us, our responsibility is not to figure out what we're doing. It's not to figure out how we're doing it. Often God has that already taken care of. Our responsibility is to go where he sends us, to say what he tells us, and to not be afraid, because he is with us. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. God not only qualifies us for our calling, but he qualifies us to use our calling, whatever it might be, to reach out to others. He gives us what we need to carry out his will, the strength, the words, the courage. If we just trust in him, God calls on us, no matter what our calling, to live and to speak for him. And he is always with us. The calling isn't just for Jeremiah. The calling is for each one of us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the ends of the age. Jesus said, go where I send you. Say what I tell you to say. And I'm with you. I'm with you even to the end of the age. Sometimes it's harder to go to our neighbor than it is to go around the world or even Costa Rica. God gives Jeremiah two visions. I believe these are not just confirming his calling, but I believe these visions are showing Jeremiah what God is going to do. The first vision is that of an olive tree or an olive branch. In Jeremiah 1, chapter 11 and or verse 11 and 12, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an olive branch. Excuse me. I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The Hebrew word for almond is very similar to the Hebrew word for wake or watch. And God says he's watching over his word. He's going to perform it. The almond branch is the symbol, Jewish symbol of hope and renewal. Indicating God is watching over his word and he will perform what he says. God will accomplish all that he said. And then God said to Jeremiah in verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north disaster shall come, shall be loosed upon all the inhabitants of the land. Now, when I read that, what I see is I see a big iron pot sitting on a campfire, and the water is boiling, and the pot tips away from the north toward the south. And God says, that's a symbol that says, I'm going to bring disaster from the north. I'm going to bring final judgment on Israel and Judah from the north. Now he is calling all the tribes of the north to bring judgment on Judah. Jeremiah was a watchman. Each of us could be thought of as a watchman. The watchman's job is simply, when we see trouble coming, to notify people. It's not to make a change in them. It's just to tell them what's going to happen. To go where God wants us to go, and to say what God wants us to say. Let's look at Jeremiah's message. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22 to 25, or verse 22. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he brought them to Sinai, and he made a covenant with them. And that covenant wasn't 618 laws. That covenant was very simple. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. The laws came later. God gave Moses the laws after the covenant was made and finalized. Obey my voice, and you shall be my people. Israel's sin was that they didn't obey God. They didn't listen to him. They went their own way, going through the motions. But they didn't have their hearts in it. They made sacrifices in the temple, but then were self-centered during the week. They made idols and worshiped them. God continually sent his prophets to warn them, to call them back to himself, but they didn't listen. In Jeremiah 7, verse 18, it says, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead the dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Israel continued to make empty sacrifices in the temple. They didn't show mercy. They didn't care about those in need. They only cared about themselves. They only went through the motions. All they had to do was repent and turn back to God. But they made a mockery of it, worshiping God in the temple and idols under every green tree on every hill. If they'd repented, God would have forgiven them. What about us today? Well, we read in Romans chapter 1, mankind, knowing that God exists, turns their back on him and gives him up. They make idols, idols of things created, of power, of position, of fame, of fortune. They place themselves ahead of God and make themselves into something that they worship. Like Israel, we put ourselves before God. We do our own thing, looking out only for ourselves. We are all exiled. We are all separated from God, separated from his love, and not able to return to it. In doing so, we incur God's wrath and punishment. We've all denied God We're all guilty before him. And his justice, God must judge us. He must carry out that judgment. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Isaiah, it says that all of our righteousnesses, all of the things we do which we consider righteous, are like filthy rags. In Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So we see, God says, because Israel and Judah did not listen to him and obey him. Back in Deuteronomy, he said, if you don't do it, I will eventually send you out and scatter you among the nations. And that's what he did. But then he said, I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back because I love you. And so the second part of Jeremiah's message is that restoration. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, fruitless Israel, declares the Lord, and I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, that you have not only obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless children, declares the Lord." God says there's hope for Israel, there's hope for Judah, and there's hope for each one of us. Just as disaster came from the north, from Babylon, following the trade routes along the Euphrates River, so Judah and Israel return back to the promised land, following those same routes, coming in from the north. The Lord loved Israel and always had restoration in mind. Just like a parent that disciplines an errant child, they do so because they love him. We have two kids. Some of you know them. There's Michelle, who now has three of her own. But when she was little and she did something wrong, I only had to take her on my lap and explain to her what she did wrong, and she would burst out in tears, repenting, "I'm sorry," and she would never do it again. Then there was Kenny. Kenny right now is about 13. Gretchen had a wooden spoon. And when Kenny did something wrong, she would apply that wooden spoon and he'd laugh at it. I finally learned I could get his attention by putting my thumb in the pressure point, the nerve point right here on his shoulder, squeezing it, and I could get his attention. Sometimes God needs to discipline us. And if we're listening, it's very gentle. And sometimes it has to be a little harder. But he does so because he loves us. He does so because he loves us. In Jeremiah 1:18, it says, Jeremiah 3:18, it says, in those days, the house of Judah shall join with the house of Israel, and together they shall come from the land of the north to the land that I gave to your fathers for a heritage. Israel and Judah will return together to the promised land. And the Lord's favor, and they will come singing back to Zion, the city of God. God disciplines his children as a parent disciplines an errant child to correct their behavior. In Hebrews 12:6 it says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son who he receives. But when discipline is done, his children are restored to full favor and love. God is ready to restore each of us. God loves us, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save all men from God's wrath. Those who believe in him have salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. It does not need to be earned. We need only to accept it freely. In Romans 5:10, it says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Often, though, even after we're saved, we continue to sin. I won't ask for a show of hands. I know I do. We come to church on Sunday, but we live totally different on Monday. We do one thing at church, another at home or at work. By doing so, how is it that we show our love or the love of Jesus to those around us? In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As God called Jeremiah to do, we show God's love by living the life that God calls us to and speaking the words God asks us to speak. God says to Israel and to us, repent, and I will forgive you. I will restore you to my full favor. God often brings circumstances into our lives to cause us to repent. Sometimes they're easy, sometimes they're very difficult. But once we repent, we are forgiven. God has forgiven us. He's wiped the slate clean. Oh, we may have to go to someone and ask forgiveness for harming them. And the person that I have the most trouble with is forgiving myself. But God has forgiven me. God forgives me. Once we repent and are forgiven. But there are times the consequences of our sin remain. So we see, we like Israel refuse to obey God. We turn our backs on Him. Because of that, He disciplines us. He judges us. But He still loves us. And He made a way to restore our relationship to Him through Jesus Christ on the cross. The last one, the nations. We're going to go through this rather quickly because Jeremiah's prophecy to the nations is chapters 46 through 51. And we won't go through it in detail, but we'll just look at what we see here. In Jeremiah 46:28, it says, "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, for I am with you. I will make a full end to all the nations to which I have driven you. But of you, I will not make a full end. I will discipline you in just measure. And I will be by no means leave you unpunished." God promises He'll discipline us. But once that discipline is done, He restores us into full fellowship. He takes away and forgives that sin. Here in chapters 46 through 51, God calls Jeremiah to prophesy against Egypt and against Philistia, the Philistines, against Moab. Moab were the descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew, against Ammon, against Edom. Edom were the descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael was Isaac's brother. Against Damascus, against Kedar and Hazar, against Elam, and against Babylon. All of these were nations that surrounded Israel. They persecuted Israel. They refused Israel's God. Israel was there to show them who God was. Israel failed. They failed. The nations around Israel didn't acknowledge Jehovah as their God. They made up their own gods and worshiped them. Because they did not acknowledge God and they persecuted Israel, God said they will receive my full wrath. They will be wiped out. Some of the nations came back, Egypt, some like Babylon. They're gone. God wiped them out totally. Those that did not turn, those who do not turn from self and accept God's gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, face God's judgment and punishment, just as those nations. I like what Ruth did. She took this whole part of my sermon. What will you do today? You know, it's great standing up here. I can see those that are paying attention, and I can see those that might not be. But I challenge you, what will you do today? Do you need that gift of salvation? It's there, ready for you. All you have to do is take it. Today is the day. Don't put it off. Or are you one who needs forgiveness? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you need forgiveness for something. Confess your sin. Confess your sin, repent, and God forgives. God totally forgives. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you have another need. Healing. Anxiety. Something. The altar is open. There'll be someone here that will pray with you if you want. What will you do today? Will you go where God sends you, like Jeremiah? Will you say what God tells you to say? Will you seek forgiveness or salvation? What will you do today? Father, many of us have choices. Choices confronting us. And I just pray that you would give us the strength, the courage to reach out to those four choices. It may be going to our neighbor with the gospel. It might be going around the world. It might be speaking to someone. It might be asking forgiveness. Or it might be coming to you and accepting your gift of salvation. Father, be with us today. Help us to make the right choice. And we thank you. In Jesus' name.